From the movie Abominable, we can easily talk about not giving up, or things aren't always what they seem, or even you're stronger than you think you are. But I decided to go with the idea of the journey, and sometimes you really don't understand why you're going on a journey until after you've gone through it. Because really, we're all going through a journey right now. Life looks different than it did a year ago, and things are going to continue to look different this fall. So I thought it would be good for us to take a look at this whole idea of taking a journey that we're not really certain about and how God plays into that picture. So let's take a look at this first clip from the movie to get you introduced to the characters and the journey that they're going on.
Makes sense. Why would they take it to the roof?
Guys, hey, what are you doing up here?
Hey, get away from her! Wait. Okay, I'm calling the police. Hello?
No!
Hello? Yes!
Jane,
no. There's a wild beast on our roof.
No, no, stop!
Yes.
Jane.
Wild beast!
Turn up that scanner.
Yeah, yeah, on Happy Road. Police, hurry!
That's him. That's the Yeti. Ring Mr. Burnish.
Jin, what have you done?
He's not dangerous. Look at him. He's a Yeti!
Cool!
What? No, Yetis don't exist!
No, they're back!
You have to go! No, run! Now, go!
Wait, wait, no!
Wait!
Yee!
He stole Yee!
More like kidnapped! Come on, Peng! Yee!
We're never gonna catch up to them.
Hey, Jin!
Hey, girls.
Woo! How many girlfriends do you have?
Hurry!
Locked on target.
Dude, you darted Dave.
Yeah, we lost them.
I want eyes on that target at all times. It cannot leave the city.
Watch out!
Hold on, Peng.
There they are.
Look, down there! That boat's leaving the city. You have to get on it.
Get into position.
Oh, there she is!
Oh my gosh!
Take the shot!
What? There's a girl with him?
Oh no! How is she gonna get away? What time is it?
8 o'clock. Why?
Time for the light show.
Come on, Yi.
Oh, there they are. Come on, Peng.
Over there. That one. When that boat lands, don't stop. Don't stop until you reach your mountain. Don't stop until you're home. Okay? Home. You have to go. Now. The hide.
No, Yi, don't.
Don't you dare!
I guess I'm coming with you, huh? Everest?
Yi? Yi, are you crazy?
Wait for me!
Hey! No!
No, 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 no!
Hey! I'm responsible for you!
Your mom's gonna kill me.
My babies!
So, the Yeti they call Everest has escaped from a research facility. Yi, the main character, is trying to protect him and help him get back home to his family. Pang, the little guy with the unicorn helmet, he's going on the journey because it seems like it's just going to be a lot of fun. And Jen is on the journey because he feels responsible for both Yi and Pang. I think that we go on different journeys in our life for different reasons as well. We want adventure. We go because the journey, it just looks super exciting. We want to feel that adrenaline rush, and we want to do something that pushes us to our limits so we can say, yeah, I did that. We want change is another reason why we go on the journey. We go because change seems better than where we are right now. It can be as simple as getting a new hairstyle, adopting a puppy, or taking on a new hobby. Or it can be as intense as changing jobs, moving, or changing a relationship status. We're just tired of where we are and we want things to be different, so we make an external change. We can also want to go on a journey because we want to be better ourselves. We go on the journey because we want to be better, and that requires an internal change. Like, we decide we're going to get serious about our health. We decide we need to get into recovery to heal some past hurts or bad habits. Or we decide to go back to school to get that degree so we can get that job that we really want. Sometimes we want to better the lives of someone else. We can start on a journey for reasons outside of ourselves. Like, we want to protect someone or something. Or we want to stand up for someone or something. We find a cause we believe in and we promote it. We advance it. We want to make a difference in the world, like ending hunger or racism or fighting cancer. Regardless of the reason behind why we start the journey, it can be pretty exciting because you're doing something new, you're getting better, you're making the world a better place. And that's exciting. It feels good. And then things can start going in a different direction. And making a change can be hard. It can be difficult, disappointing, even pose a risk that you weren't really ready to take. So let's take a look at this next clip from the movie and see how their journey is going.
Go faster!
I'm trying!
Everest, do something! It's working!
Oh no. Guys? Guys!
Oh! Turn!
Whoa! This is unbelievable!
Ping, look!
It's okay.
Wow!
Whoa!
Whoa!
This is amazing!
This is impossible!
Woo!
Come on, Everest! Make it go bigger!
Higher!
Where is he? Pang? Oh no. Everest, no. Everest. Hold it in.
Hey, Jin, you got a little something right here. Oh, no.
Yi?
In that scene, Yi and the gang are definitely having an exciting adventure. They realize that Everest the Yeti has magical powers, and they do things they never imagined that they could. And then they get into some trouble. The bad guys are chasing them, and while they're on the boat, they're trying to escape, they crash. And Yi's violin gets broken. And the backstory on that violin and why that's such a tragedy is that it's a precious treasure from her father. It has special meaning because her father passed away earlier that year. So when it breaks, when her journey doesn't go the way as planned, she doesn't know what to do. And she runs away and basically breaks down. So let's think about that for a minute. When our journey that we start out on doesn't go the way we planned, how do we respond? What we do when things don't go the way we expect can have a huge impact on our journey and what we end up learning from it. Now, God can use our journeys to teach us the things He wants us to know, whether our journeys go as planned, get terribly off track, or become a complete train wreck. And even when our journeys are thrust upon us and we don't really want to go on this particular journey anyway, God can still use that. I found that most of the time, at least for me, I don't understand what the journey is really about until after I've traveled on it some. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. One of my daughters has a pretty serious health condition that requires her to get an infusion of medicine through a port once a month. It's just like this little thing right here on her chest, and you stick a needle in it, and then medicine goes right into like a big vein over just a couple of hours. And it's an easy way to get a lot of intense medicine into your body quickly without harming like the smaller veins that you would have to use if you use like an IV in your arm. Now, I don't know if you parents out there do this, but David and I split up the hard stuff when it comes to kids. I do throw up, poop, and tears. And David does splinters, needles, and blood. So when she got her port, she was able to start getting her medicine at home. And the nurse would come and get everything started. And then, much to our surprise, she informed us that she was leaving, and when the infusion was done, we would have to take the needle out of her port. Now, this was quite a shock to me, and thankfully, both of us assumed right away that this would be David's job. But when the time came, she said she wanted Daddy to hold her and for me to take it out. Now, this was a big deal, and I was completely terrified. She was crying. It wasn't coming out. No, it's like half in, half out, and we're all sweating, and David looks at me, and he gives me the put your big girl pants on and get this thing out. So I do, and it comes out. And at the time, I'm thinking, wow, God is teaching me that I can really do some hard things, things I never imagined I could do. But later that night, Dave and I are talking and kind of like debriefing the whole situation. And I'm telling him how scared I was to do this needle thing. And then how ashamed I felt of myself that I was so afraid. I mean, come on, I'm the mom, just do it already. And he says, yeah, I guess we're gonna have to get used to doing things we really don't wanna do, and that stinks. And we talk a little more about how much things stink and our conflicting emotions. And we agree right then that we can tell each other how we feel about any of this, no holds barred, with no judgment. We have to be able to be honest about how we really feel, even when how we feel isn't very pretty or attractive, or it's not the right thing to feel, that it's okay to be angry, scared, sad, or even disgusted, or to be terrified. You can tell me anything and I won't judge you. I can't even begin to tell you how that one incident has changed our marriage over the last 10 years. No matter what, we are always honest about how we're feeling, and we give the other person permission to feel whatever they're feeling without shame or guilt. Now, at the time, I thought God was teaching me how to be strong and courageous, but looking back now, I think He was teaching me that all my feelings are valid. And so are my husband's. And we really need to be there for each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly, or we are not gonna make it. Sometimes things don't go the way we intend or the way we plan. We never planned to go on this journey with our family, but here we are. We are going on this journey, and we have to decide what we're gonna do, how we are going to react along the way. In our movie, Yi runs away when things get tough. This is a super common reaction. Things don't go the way we plan and we run away and hide. If I run from my problems physically or emotionally, then I don't have to deal with them. Or we could lean into the journey and learn something. I promise you that God can use whatever you are going through for good. Now, one of my very favorite books of the Bible is Esther. Talk about a journey that didn't go as planned. The story starts out with Esther becoming an orphan and her older cousin Mordecai deciding to take care of her. Mordecai becomes a member of the citadel in Susa under the king. And the king gets really upset with his queen and decides that she will no longer be the queen, and he goes on his own journey to find a new queen. And all of the eligible ladies in the land are summoned for the king to evaluate, and he decides that Esther is the fairest in the land, and he takes her to become his new queen. Now, Mordecai advises her to not let on that she is a Jew, and she doesn't because she respects Mordecai and she follows his directions as she had all through her childhood. Now, Mordecai overheard some other king officials plotting to kill the king. So Mordecai told Esther to tell the king, and she did, and their plot was exposed, and the men were killed. Now, after that, another official by the name of Haman was elevated to a seat of honor, and the king commanded that all would kneel down and honor Haman. And Mordecai refused to kneel. Haman then discovered that Mordecai was a Jew and convinced the king that all Jews were a threat to his rule and that he should have them destroyed on a particular day. And the king did not know that Mordecai and Esther, who he really liked, were both Jewish. Now, this is a big problem for Mordecai and all the Jews because the order says to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, men, women, and children on a single day. And Mordecai does not hide the fact that he is a Jew any longer, and he tells Esther that she needs to go to the king's presence and beg for mercy and plead with him to save her and the people. Now, that's a big problem for Esther because no one goes into the presence of the king without being called in to see him. It's an offense punishable by death unless the king extends his golden scepter to them. Of course, Esther is terrified, and Mordecai says this to her: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." This is Esther's big moment. This is the pinnacle of her journey. She didn't ask for it. It was thrust upon her. Now she has to decide how she's going to react. What is she going to do? Is she going to lean into this journey and see where God takes her, or will she try to run away in some form? The story of Esther and her big decision is pretty popular as far as Bible stories go, and you may know the end. She decides to take the risk, and the king extends the golden scepter to her, and ultimately the Jews are saved. It is so easy for us to think that we need to have a big Esther-type moment on our journeys for them to be valuable. We've really got to do something spectacular, life-saving, with this huge risk attached to it for it to be worthy of declaring it a mission from God. You might have that type of journey like Esther's. You may end up at some point in your life needing to take a huge risk in order to do the right thing, and that is noble and worthy of honor and respect from all those that benefit from it. But I want to point out that most of us will have decisions to make in our lives that are more like Mordecai moments. The first thing we learn about Mordecai is that he made the decision to take care of his younger cousin Esther and treat her like his own daughter when she was orphaned. That one decision may not have seemed like a huge deal. It definitely wasn't life or death for him, but it was a huge decision with a ripple effect that led up to the circumstances that ultimately saved the Jewish people from destruction. Did he have to make a choice that put his life in danger? No. But Mordecai just did the next right thing. He did what he thought was best for someone other than himself. He stood up for this little girl who had no one and took her in as his own daughter. That cost him something for sure, but we oftentimes don't see those types of decisions as worthy of praise when really they are the ones that change the world one little right thing at a time. For example, the small group leader that consistently shows up to be a part of your life because they want you to know that you matter to God. Or the teacher that goes above and beyond to make sure that you and your child feel comfortable in this new virtual setting for school. Or the nurse in the hospital that shows up day after day to take care of others when they themselves are tired and hurting. The parents that wake up early and go to bed late so they can take care of and engage with their children who are anxious about what's next. The person that stands up for someone else being ridiculed or shamed for being different. The neighbor that drops by to make sure you're okay because they haven't seen you in a few days. These are the types of decisions to do the right thing. They oftentimes benefit someone other than themselves. These decisions to stand up for what you believe in because you know what God has to say about how to treat people, they are the decisions that foster real change. Remember, my friends, Jesus breaks it down for us in simple terms. Love God, love people. And Jesus gives us examples of that type of love he was talking about in the New Testament. He healed people who were sick instead of being disgusted by them or outcasting them. He touched them and he talked to them and he offered them forgiveness and hope and healing. He respected and valued women, which was completely unexpected and unpopular in his culture and time. He respected and valued children, also unheard of in his time. He respected the poor. He tells us to love those who are different from us, those that oppose us, those that are considered to be our enemies. He served others when he knew that he was the Son of God. Sometimes loving others seems like the exact opposite of what they deserve or what you want to do. So how do you do it? Listen to people. Get to know people who are different than you or believe differently than you do and work hard to understand them and their views. Respect people. Everyone's life is valuable no matter who they are, what they've been through, what they've done, or what they believe. You need to act accordingly and offer hope, healing, justice, mercy, and when needed, forgiveness. Serve people. Do something for someone else that has no benefit for you. This is what Jesus did. He's the Son of God, and he washed people's feet. That's gross. You are not so above anyone else in stature, position, power, or wealth that you can't do something to help someone else, even if it's inconvenient or uncomfortable for you. And finally, pray for people. Pray for those who are easy to love and those that are difficult to love. You might be surprised at how your heart changes for a person when you pray for them consistently. Not everyone is going to have an Esther moment on the journey of their life, but you will have several Mordecai moments where you will have to decide if you're going to do the right thing, the easy thing, or the selfish thing. How are you going to love the people that God puts on this journey of your life? I hope that you will choose to listen, to respect, to serve, and to pray for them. Now we have one more clip from the movie where Yi and the gang reunite Everest with his family, and Yi thinks this is the purpose of her journey. So let's watch and find out.
Guys, it sure is a long way up there.
Everest?
Be so good at basketball.
We're finally home, Everest. Home. I can't believe the journey's over. Right. It's not over. Thank you, Everest.
Yi thought that the purpose of her journey was to reunite Everest with his family. And what she realizes, though, was that Everest helped her to reunite with her own family. After her father died, she became distant from her mother and grandmother and felt like her family life was over. She just couldn't imagine it without Dad in the picture. And Everest shows her that she still has a family. Her dad still has a part of it in her memory. And her mom, and her grandmother still make up a family. So I wonder, guys, on this journey of your life that you're going through right now, is it what you expected? How are you reacting? What does your Mordecai moment look like? How are you going to do the next right thing? How are you going to listen to, respect, serve, and pray for other people so that you are being an example of Jesus's love that is worthy of other people noticing and being interested in what guides your decision to love this way? I really appreciate you guys being here with us today. The band is going to come and play another song, and then Pastor Rusty is going to close us with some important announcements. So be sure to stick around. I'm going to close this up with prayer right now. God, you're so good, and we love you so much. We thank you for the journeys that you put us on, and we ask you to please help us feel your presence in the middle of whatever journey that we're going on. Help us to see the thing that you want us to know. Help us to understand what you're trying to teach us. And Lord, I just ask that you help us in the middle of our Mordecai moments that we have day after day in our lives, that you help us to do the next right thing. You help us to listen to people. You help us to love people, to respect them, to serve them, and to pray for them. We thank you so much for the time that we have with you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.